Do you hear me in the back? It's okay. So tonight I'd like to talk about qualities that support our meditation. And there are quite a few qualities that help us being here, actually. And in the process of the meditation, there's naturally a cultivation of certain qualities. As you know, it just doesn't happen like that, right? Even though we try a lot, there are specific qualities that help us. And often we don't know what they are, or we forget about them, and they need to be recalled again and again, I find. And in this path, there are three that are mentioned, which is mindfulness, concentration, and effort. And that's actually the meditative part in terms of a path. You know, there are other types of qualities belonging to the Eightfold Path, the path of awakening. So what we're trying to do, actually, is to arrive, right? Have you tried to arrive today? Did you succeed? No? Not so easy. Yeah, well, it really requires some practice. It's totally normal. Why? Because we have the tendency to live exactly the opposite way. Living outside of the moment. And so there's a cultivation. And that word bhavana in Pali is exactly that. It just doesn't happen haphazardly. There's a cultivation. And actually the word for meditation is Western. In the tradition, you don't talk about meditation. It's not meditation in terms of a contemplation. It's a practice. It's a development. It's something we cultivate. So the best translation for what we're doing is cultivation of certain qualities. We cultivate. There's a development. And the practice invites us to be present. There's a line that I really liked from the very beginning when I began my path of practice from the Thai forest monk abbot of the Thai forest tradition, whose name is Achan Sumedho. He retired now. Maybe he came to Israel. I don't know if he came to visit and teach. He never came. Yeah, well, he's retired, so he won't come. Maybe come, but he retired. The followers may be coming. And he says, the past is memory. The past is memory. The future is the unknown. We understand that, right? Now is the knowing. The connection to now is so important because this is where we're going to find reality. And in the instructions already this morning, there was a suggestion about this. How much we can relive the past by way of memory. We can memorize, right? But it's not a living experience. It's memory. And we can anticipate and think about the future, but it's thoughts about the future. It's not the reality, the living experience. That's what we're talking about when we talk about reality. The living experience, meaning that now is the knowing. Now is the only moment that there is this feeling, the potential to feel alive. There is aliveness in this field of connection. So is that so complicated? He asks us, is that so complicated to just live the moment? Well, it seems it is. Why? Because of habit. That's the only reason why it's complicated for us to actually stay connected to the present, to appreciate this present, to really enjoy life where it's happening. And so it needs a little bit of practice. And for many of us, there's a way that we feel into this connectedness and we feel into the benefits of this connectedness. And the benefits are numerous. There's not only one benefit. There are so many of them. One was mentioned this morning, that sense of totality, where there's really a sense of gathering the energy and we feel more whole. One way of saying this is we actually feel more at home. At home meaning not in exile, not escaping our life, but living it more fully. And that's a huge benefit. So actually what we're doing again and again without even being aware of it is we're actually cultivating the escape. The escape from ourselves, the escape from life. And if we're here consciously, or maybe some of us are beginners, not so consciously, we're not aware of what we're going to be meeting, there's no doubt that you've been noticing that something has brought you here. And that escape that is a habit mode is actually quite painful. Avoiding and escaping, escapism, wow. It's really painful to keep on needing to be busy again and again and again. The busyness, right? The rapidity, the stress level that is accelerating. Maybe not in Israel, but definitely I feel it in Switzerland and in Europe, in France. Here it's kind of calm, right? Easygoing. People are very patient. So it's the same as everywhere else, you know? Nothing to take as wrong. It's just in the whole world now, even in places where it used to be so kind of quiet and peaceful. And I'm thinking of Nepal, for example, where I lived, you know, quite a number of years. Wow, there's such a difference of rhythm, you know? So it's kind of an epidemic. So one of it is the busyness. We're not here to actually appreciate the moment. And the other aspect is that we're lost in reactivity. And that reactivity, we're not even noticing until we stop. And we're noticing there's a doing to react. It just doesn't happen like that. We create tension. We create reactivity, we create resistance to not allow life in. And that's also painful. So this whole path, there's so many ways to talk about it, you know. There's so many ways, and that's why each one of us will, of course, present different topics. But really, the meaning is to go towards more peace, more freedom, less reactivity. And present moment reality is where it can happen, even if it includes the resistances. We probably had a lot of resistance today, meeting maybe some pain in the body or a lot of thoughts, and oh, I don't want to. So that's the practice. That's we're meeting resistance and we begin to allow it. So no part left out. As was mentioned this morning, again, see, I listened well. Nothing is an obstacle. Did you hear that this morning? Right? In the instructions? Well, if you didn't hear it, you weren't here. That's not a problem. You hear it again, and you'll hear it again. Nothing is an obstacle. Meaning there's no experience which is outside of the meeting. Ultimately. Now, of course, there are some we want and others that we don't want, right? We've seen that probably. So this is also part of the meeting. Wow, you know, we can really be open to much more than we think we can. So we're limited by our thoughts. We're dependent upon the conditions and all our beliefs. And that is a narrowness. It's really kind of a contraction to not allow some experiences in. And that is what is preventing the totality, the wholeness. So we talk about this, and of course, you know, intellectually you get it, I'm sure, right? We're pretty bright. But it's not enough. You have to go through this living experience of seeing, wow, I can actually open to this, allow this mind state, allow to feel a little more what is unpleasant. So this is the way. But the first step is to move from being lost in the world, lost in the constructs, lost in all the storytelling mind, to coming into connection with what is happening. I remember my very first insight. You know what an insight is, right? Realization or understanding, you can say. But it's an understanding that is coming from the direct experience. It's not based in thinking or figuring it out. Insight comes from intuition. And this is exactly what we're cultivating here. It's intuitive awareness. And my very first insight, when I began practicing so many years ago, was, wow, I'm creating dramas. My mind is creating one drama after another. It's totally amazing how I'm kind of building my life on dramatic stories. They're not even funny, if only I had, you know. Sometimes we have a temperament which is a little more hilarious and not so heavy. Well, now mine is. When I started, I was really heavy, and it was like, ooh, one drama after another, and oh, so tensed. And the dramas, of course, I believed in. So my world was kind of a prison. And that was painful. But when I began to really connect from that place of reality, hey, wait a minute, what's happening here? This is a creation, like a movie. And we live in our own movies. And we begin to see that the movie is just a movie. It changes everything. This is why we're here. This is why we're supporting the practice. And in that case, then, from being lost, there's a freshness. Really, it re-alivens our sense of purpose in this world. Not only for ourselves, but in relationship to the world. So mindfulness is about meeting ourselves with curiosity and freshness. Now, if we want to understand the difference between concentration and mindfulness, concentration is actually the way that we get here. There's a collectedness. We collect the energy, which is scattered very often. So dispersed, you know? It's like, woo. How many journeys did you have today? Fantasies. Where were you? You know, it's so great. You're kind of, from 1 second to the next, you can be in India, and then you can be kind of where you were on holiday or where you could be on holiday, and you're not. Oh, and suddenly you say, oh, indoor. Here I am. Here it is. But it's really like these buses, you know. You hop on, you hop off. You hop on, you hop off. You finish up in Brazil or wherever you want to go in all these fantasies. And then there's a freshness and says, hey, this is happening here. So we wake up from the fantasy. In that moment, it's the concentration that helps me stay focused. And the mindfulness is helping me see what is happening. So there are two different functions in the mind. It's all happening in the mind, right? One mind, one consciousness. But there are different aspects and different functions. So the gathering of the energy, focused, I'm here again. Recollect. And mindfulness sees what's happening. There's the knowing. And this is what's so precious. We become conscious. And the awareness is actually What is working? It's the awareness with wisdom, recognizing that where we were, whatever the story we were lost in, is actually a story we were lost in. It's not a problem in itself. See, we don't need to do the escape and now and say, okay, now I've got to be present, I've got to get rid of all these thoughts because I need to be present. That's not what we're talking about. And there's a wrong understanding if we think we need to get rid of these thoughts, the story. We can't. It's the function of the mind to think. And I think it's very helpful to know how to think. But there are times we can also be more simple, because there is more simplicity in just the sensory world, right? In contact with a body sensation, in contact with a breath, a sound, the direct experience. That is simplifying. From that place of stability, which is the stability of attention, which is concentration, but it's not a concentration with one experience only. It's just the stability, the concentration is just about being present one moment after another. A little more, and a little more, and a little more, and then we see more. Isn't that simple? You get it? Does it make sense in your minds, the way that it's working? So this is exactly what is happening at a pace that is unique to each one of us. That is so helpful to know, you know? So probably we came with many hopes or many expectations, right? Do you have expectations? Do you have wants? Yes. Do you have ideas about what it's like to be on retreat? The thought about what it's like to be on retreat and being on retreat? Maybe not the same thing, huh? So there's a lot happening in terms of wanting. Wanting a certain experience, not wanting another experience. Maybe not wanting that structure that we are having, you know? Because it's very structured. The schedule is pretty dense, but the structure is not to avoid meeting each other. It's for the purpose of the deepening of these qualities that I'm mentioning. It has a purpose. And, you know, it's one form, so you may be spending time saying, okay, why don't they have a schedule where it's 20 minutes and then we can do something else? And then someone said, I want free time, free time. I said, yeah, what's free time? And then free time, we have some free time. So the structure is here and it's a build-up and it just serves the purpose. It's not about making things perfect outside of ourselves, and it's not about making things perfect inside of yourself. It has nothing to do with perfection. So what does that mean? It means, whew, we can take joy. A little more enjoyment in terms of doing the practice with some lightness in the heart. And Chogyam Trungpa, a Tibetan master who's written many books, he says, meditation practice involves an intimate relationship with ourselves. Great intimacy is involved. It has nothing to do with achieving perfection or even achieving or getting to some state. It is purely getting into what we are and examining our actual experience. So in this world where we're really kind of working on ourselves, you know, we're working to have the the best physical appearance that we can have available. We're working on the best life. We're working to get a fit body. Here, we're not working to perfect ourselves. We're actually coming into being to regain some sense of respect for who we are, as we are, right now, who we are, rather than trying to be someone else. So we come into this connection and have a lot of self-care. And it's actually the care and the kindness that is going to support the mindfulness. So what is mentioned here is wise attention. And this is exactly what we're doing. So what this means is if we practice with a sense of lightness in our heart, even a sense of joy, being happy, if it's possible, to be actually having this precious time to be on retreat and to know ourselves a little more deeply, it's going to be a huge support. So joy is another quality. So now it's not the joy to only have pleasant states, blissful states. It's just the joy of connecting and actually being able to meet ourselves. But joy in the fact of doing the practice. And naturally, there are more happy experiences that come along. So as someone was asking, is it getting any easier today? And I said, yes, certainly it is getting easier. There's no doubt. You know, if it's the beginning for you of the journey, yes. And I'm sure that everyone you can talk to, it is getting easier. So we engage with the meditation and step by step, encouraging what is already here. And then we really are sensing that quality of a more lightness of heart and more kindness. We can be very hard on ourselves and take everything very personally. Nothing of this path is actually personal. And that we begin to sense. It does not define you. It comes from causes and conditions. Patterns of mind come from causes and conditions, previous ones, from maybe tendencies, from upbringing, from social conditioning. This is what is manifesting. And it's not me who has a self-deficiency. And again, there was such an interesting conversation this afternoon. It's like, wow, I'm really noticing a lot of worthlessness, you know? Like, oh, all these judging thoughts that are happening, and I hadn't seen them before, maybe, and I'm seeing a lot of them, judging. And it's painful. But then I say, it's not defining you. Judging is just judging. So just allow that to be seen. And when you see it, do you see that it rises and passes? It's not always here, is it? And of course the person said, no, it's not always here. So it comes and goes. It's not solid. So we don't need to be defined by any experience that comes about. And that too brings up a lot more freedom. And we begin to really explore this. And this is such a jewel, in a way. The conditions are the same, but we feel much less trapped within the conditions. And therefore, there's more independence, as I said this morning. We move from dependence to independence. And that is absolutely wonderful. There's a quote, which is, of course, a metaphor. And it comes from one of the early texts. And it's a conversation between the Deva, one of the Devas, and the Buddha. And a Deva, you know what a Deva is? A celestial being. One that is living on a human world, but the Buddha was also teaching to devas. And the deva says, "Tell me, dear sir, how you crossed over the flood," which means crossing over the flood means really coming from a trap of being in conditions and dependent upon conditions to independence. That's crossing over the flood. You can say samsara to nirvana. And so the Buddha said, "I crossed over the flood without pushing forward and without staying in place." Without pushing forward and without staying in place. Pushing forward is forcing. Staying in place is abandoning. And the deva asked then, "But how did you cross over the flood without pushing forward and without staying in place?" And the Buddha replied, "When I pushed forward, I was whirled about," meaning spinning. "When I stayed in place, I sank. And so I crossed over the flood without pushing forward, without staying in place." Without forcing, without abandoning. And the deva has a comment to this, and he says, "At long last I see an honorable one, totally unbound, who without pushing forward, without staying in place, has crossed over the turmoils of the world." Now, if you've listened well, did the Buddha say how to do it? No, he didn't exactly. Now, that's often a paradox, you know. We don't have the method, so we have to fill it in. The Buddha didn't tell us how he did it. He only told us what he didn't do. But that's a lot, you know. That's exactly what usually we do, right? We either strive to get or we abandon. And so these are the two extremes to avoid in how we approach our practice. So that quality, which is the third quality of effort or energy, balance, is something I think we can actually engage in and explore every single day, whether we are beginning the path, on the middle, or almost there at the end, that we've crossed the flood. It was like just this morning, I said, wow, what's the balance here? What's needed? What's supporting the energy to be mindful, to be present? So making no effort at all won't work. We sink, we get lost in the turmoil. So very interesting to see how we actually do the abandoning or the sinking by just indulging in our stories, in our dreamland. Or it may be even more obvious, as Charles was saying, you can't learn about the walking meditation if you don't walk. So we go for a number of cup of teas or coffee or whatever, you know, thinking that, oh, that's how I'm going to best spend my time. It won't work, right? You're going to have to just postpone then the meeting. Okay, so you notice. But you learn in that way. You actually learn the way that, nope, not putting any effort, not any energy, is actually creating more trouble. And we're here to actually find some way to peace, to do something about this human life, this human condition, or you can say human predicament. So we put our heart into it, and I really like that's where the self-care comes in. So what does it mean to care? The careful attention. So then we say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to come in. I'm going to be present. And then certainly what we're going to do is force. Abandoning on one side and force. What's the force? Have you tried the force today? That's how we learn, right? And when we force, we strive. I really want to be here. I really want to be concentrated. I really want to stay with this experience. Maybe it's the breathing or hearing or whatever area you chose. And you force too much, so you tense up. And how does physical tension come up? We create tension. It's amazing how you can notice how you yourself create tension by forcing. But we learn that way, so we learn to be too tight, and then we're too loose. And so neither way, right? He said, neither by pushing forward nor by staying in place. So there's a middle way. And that middle way will be spoken about again and again. That middle way is the in-between. Not forcing, not abandoning. So coming into. And this is exactly what we've been invited to. Coming into, relaxing into, settling into. Because actually, it's already happening. When we actually allow and we're showing up, our job is to show up. And that's the middle way. Showing up, what does it mean to show up? To connect, to become intimate, right? But then allow the support of mindfulness. You don't need to constantly interfere to try to get another experience than the one that is coming up. That's how we're forcing. Have you seen that you wanted another experience? Maybe more than once today, right? Wanted something else? That's how we force. So this is exactly what was said this morning also. Better to want what's here than what's not here. It's much more simple. And so we learn this. But it's really meaningful. It's not just a small deal. It's like, wow, something is happening where I'm kind of really intimate. So feeling a breath is very different than being at a distance from ourselves and thinking about the breath. And we'll start there. We'll think about the breath. We'll think about body sensations. We'll think. And thinking is just thinking. It's okay, I'm thinking about. And then suddenly I can say, hey, may I feel it? Just feeling it. Feeling into it and connect and sustain. Connect and sustain. So that's the middle way. Which means here that we actually have a choice. And that choice is just to allow for life to reveal itself. The breath breathes. The sounds appear. We don't need to do so much. Do you get that? You understand that point? That we actually have a choice? That we don't need to interfere all the time to try to get? We can allow. That's how we stay connected with this moment, and then this moment, and then this moment. It's only one moment at a time. One moment, one moment, one moment. So it's easier than we think. That's the way. Slowly, slowly, that's the way. There's a feeling of tiredness tonight. Have we done too much effort? If we're tired? Oh, I'm so exhausted, I can't listen to this Dharma talk. Just noticing. What happens? Okay, so we're tired. And it's okay to feel it. And it's normal that on the first day we feel a little tired. But how can I support myself? Of course, we're going to have some rest, a whole night of sleep, and then tomorrow morning, a new fresh day. Yesterday, today, memory. So we don't come in the hall and say, wow, I hope I'm not going to get this pain that I had yesterday. And so we're making a makeup already for difficult conditions. And you see how you can be more fresh, easier. the middle way. It's so much easier in that way. So we don't need to do the striving. So this is how we can actually support a quality of attention which holds care rather than judgment. Nothing is about self-deficiency. Nothing. So we don't need to judge ourselves. We absolutely don't need to be hostile. There's enough hostility in this world. Please switch from hostility or aversion, any type of kind of self-hostility or aggression, to kindness. The mind is judging, as I said today. Oh, judging hurts. Can I care for this little mind that is screaming for something? Whatever it wants. Care. And we're going to be naturally bringing this quality that is so helpful. And very naturally then there's an organic, a quiet, an ease, more ease, and much more joy. That's how it's happening. Transformation doesn't happen by will. We cannot will it. That's a very different kind of mode of relationship than our ordinary life. So we learn that freedom and happiness come through allowing. Allow, allow, allow. And then the transformation happens very naturally. So I'll close with a little text from the great master Vietnamese, Thich Nhat Hanh. You know him? Yeah, he's got many texts, probably also in Hebrew. Huh? In one of his books, he says, he talks about three doors to liberation. And one of them, he names aimlessness. So not trying to have an aim, a goal. Process is happening. It's not that we don't have a path, okay? We walk and there is a path to walk on. But organically, it's happening. We're not trying to make it happen. That's what is meant by aimlessness or striving. He says, there is no agenda. Do you have an agenda? Watch if you have an agenda. Does the rose have to do something? No. The purpose of the rose is to be a rose. Your purpose is to be yourself. You don't have to run anywhere to become someone else. Life is precious as it is. All the elements for your happiness are already here. There's no need to run. There's no need to struggle. Just be. Just being in the moment, in this place, this very place, is the deepest practice of meditation. Most people cannot believe that just walking as though you have nowhere to go is enough. They think that striving and competing are normal and necessary. Try practicing aimlessness for just 5 minutes. And you'll see you'll be much more connecting. And you'll see how happy you are during those 5 minutes. To have happiness in this moment requires a spirit. And the spirit is aimlessness. Otherwise, you can run in circles the rest of your life. So, it's so precious to be here. And aimlessness doesn't mean there is no transformation. It is the deepest transformation that is happening by way of exploring and really fully respecting who we are. as a human being. And by nature, we will have so much more respect for others as they are. This is so meaningful, not just individually, but on a global level. Collected. And we're many here. It's amazing how we're doing this together, supporting each other, having the best intention to show up, allow, meet, connect, and see what is bondage, and see through bondage what is freedom. And that's happiness. Thank you for your courage to listen to the Dharma Talk of First Day. So there's walking meditation, and I think it's good if we have a little bit of fresh air. Walking outside without agenda, but actually 5 minutes, okay? Please, 5 minutes and you'll see. And a little more, right? 5 more minutes and then 5 more minutes. Please come back in the hall for 9:15. A last short sit. It will be a little shorter today. First evening, yeah? But it's nice to finish all together.